ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 66 टेक्स्ट 10 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड पौंड्रक द फॉल्स वासुदेव। इति दूतास तम आक्षेपम स्वामिने सर्वं आहरत कृष्णो पी रथम आस्थाय काशीम उपजगाम। इति दूतस्तमाक्षेपम् इति दूतस्तमाक्षेपम् स्वामिने सर्वमाहरत् स्वामिने सर्वमाहरत् कृष्णोऽपि रथमास्थाय कृष्णोऽपि रथमास्थाय काशीमुपजगाम काशीमुपजगाम। इति दूतस्तमाक्षेपम् स्वामिने सर्वमाहरत् कृष्णोऽपि रथमास्थाय काशीमुपजगाम। इति दूतस्तमाक्षेपम् स्वामिने सर्वमाहरत् कृष्णोऽपि रथमास्थाय काशीमुपजगाम। इति दूतस्तमाक्षेपम् स्वामिने सर्वमाहरत् कृष्णोऽपि रथमास्थाय काशीमुपजगाम। इति दूतस्तमाक्षेपम् कृष्णोऽपि रथमास्थाय काशीमुपजगाम। इति दूतस्तमाक्षेपम् स्वामिने सर्वमाहरत् कृष्णोऽपि रथमास्थाय काशीमुपजगाम। माताजी इति दूतस्तमाक्षेपम् स्वामिने सर्वमाहरत् कृष्णोऽपि रथमास्थाय काशीमुपजगाम। इति दस् एड्रेस्ड दूतः द मेसेंजर తమ్ దోజ్ ఆక్షేపం ఇన్సల్ట్స్ స్వామినే టు హిజ్ మాస్టర్ సర్వం ఎంటైర్ ఆహరత్ క్యారీడ్ కృష్ణ లార్డ్ కృష్ణ అపి అండ్ రథం హిజ్ చారియట్ ఆస్థాయ రైడింగ్ కాశీం టు వారాణసీ ఉపజగామః వెంట్ నియర్. Translation and purport by the disciples of the Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation: when the Lord had thus spoken, the messenger conveyed his insulting reply to his master in its entirety. Lord Krishna then mounted his chariot and went to the vicinity of Kashi. Purport: in Krishna, Srila Prabhupada describes the incident as follows. The messenger carried the words of Lord Krishna to his master Paundrak, who patiently heard all these insults. Without waiting any longer, Lord Shri Krishna immediately started out in his chariot to punish the rascal Paundrak. Because at that time the king of Karusha, Paundrak, was living with his friend the king of Kashi, Krishna surrounded the whole city of Kashi. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha శ్రీరూపం సాగరజాతాం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావదూతం పరిజన సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణ పాదాన్ సహగణ లలితా శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ ఓమ జ్ఞానదమిరాందస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయా చక్షురోన్మిలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః. శ్రీ చైతన్య మనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదామయ్యం తదాతి స్వపదాంతికం. నమః ఓం విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామీనితి నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాదీ పాశ్చాత్య దేశతారిణే వంచాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్యైవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసది గౌర భక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే, హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే, హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. Before touching the words and the purport, we'll just see in brief the life story of Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami, whose disappearance day we are observing today. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the sort of initiation which we know, like Prabhupada received from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and then Prabhupada initiated so many thousands of disciples, the six Goswamis were not technically initiated in that particular format, but they are accepted as the six direct descendants of Mahaprabhu's legacy, Mahaprabhu's preaching movement. And in many places in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya clarifies, I am doing so many things through all of you. Devotee scholars have noted that till Jiva Goswami became prominent, the term six Goswamis was not prevalent. Echai Gosai Jar Muitara Das. Narottam Das Thakur sings that I am the servant of these six Goswamis. But at point of time, Mahaprabhu told Rup Sanatan, you go to Vrindavan. To Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, he had told that serve your parents and then you come to Vrindavan. Jiva was the nephew of Rup and Sanatan, so he naturally followed in their footsteps. Raghunath Das Goswami was told that don't be a monkey renunciant. In due course of time, Krishna will deliver you. Be a, in Prabhupada's words, a pound shilling man. The estimated wealth of Raghunath Das Goswami can be estimated in the terms of 1,200,000 gold coins was the tax his father and uncle were paying. His uncle had no issue and he was the sole heir. And one day he gave it up. So equally enchanting is the story of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. On the pretext of finding his elder brother Vishwaroop, who had taken sannyas, which is what Mahaprabhu told his mother, that I think he has and I want to find him out. And the internal reason of reaching out to conditioned souls all over South India, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, South India was like Gajaraj, the elephant, Gajendra, caught in the vicious jaws of impersonalism. And Mahaprabhu delivered the whole province. And of course, we see a wandering sadhu or a monk, they all follow the footsteps of the avatars. So Mahaprabhu went to so many thousands of holy places. It's like Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami describes one, then the second, then the third. And then he says he went everywhere. East, west, north, south, everywhere. I cannot count how many holy places he went to. Some of them are not even, as the word is used, prakashman. They are not even revealed now. They became lupta. But one particular place is mentioned in great detail. We get the story of the illiterate Brahmana who was reading the Bhagavad Gita because his Guru Maharaj told him, that is Sri Rangam. And the second thing we learn in Sri Rangam is, in the home of Venkata Bhatt and Tirumala Bhatt, Lord Chaitanya stayed there for 4 months of the Chaturmas, which just began with this Purnima. And the interaction with Gopal, the small son of Venkata Bhatt, it completely confuses historians from the mundane side of history when they are told that it is in Sri Rangam that Lord Chaitanya told Gopal, you will meet Rup and Sanatan in Vrindavan, while Mahaprabhu had not gone to Ramkeli yet. So how does he tell them that you meet Rupa? They are not even called Rupa and Sanatan yet. So mundane historians say there seems to be some problem here. How can they understand Mahaprabhu if they look through their history lens? He looks like a mundane person born under the control of material nature.
But that's what Mahaprabhu told. That you go to Vrindavan, you will meet Rupa and Sanatan there. Small Gopal, after many, many years, decides to make that historic journey. He comes there, and from the social point of view, Rupa and Sanatan, born in a Saraswat Brahmana lineage, but accepting the service of Nawab Hussain Shah, are completely cast out from Hindu society. Same with Jiva, because he is their relative. Raghunath Das Goswami, this is like a shopkeeper. Raghunath Bhatt, he came from Bangladesh. But he was not so much of a writer. He was more like a pujari of Radha Govindaji. But Gopal Bhatt, with his erudition, scholarship, and especially his service to Sri Sri Radha Raman Dev, that's another big story. We are not going into so much detail now. But Sanatana Goswami understood the pulse of the society at that time. And his books, especially, I like this example given by Hridayan Maharaj. Just like we have a temple and we have policies. Anytime something is not done, we look in the policy book. Why this is done today? Why this was not done today? ISKCON would be established 5 centuries later. We are talking in terms of what it could be, 1486 Mahaprabhu advented, right? 1534. That means 1540 or 15, that decade was the time when the Goswamis would write books. And sometimes it is so innocent and so sweet to understand. They wrote books for each other. They would sit and they would just talk, I wrote this poem today, I wrote this Leela today. The books are also dedicated to each other. So it's not like they were thinking these books would be glowing all over the globe and they could be translated into so many languages. They knew that this is our duty. Mahaprabhu wanted Nana Shastra Vicharanaika Nipuno. They were very expert in all language, all Shastras. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami was the one whom Sanatana Goswami, he dedicated or he told him to edit the books. And he said, these should be known as your books. So Hari Bhakti Vilas is like a Vaishnava policy manual. At the same time, many of the things in Hari Bhakti Vilas, they are like, it's old software, Windows 95. It worked well at a particular time and it was the cutting edge. But today you can't use it because you may say it's so slow or whatever. So the policy is there. Prabhupada knew. So at one point of time, Prabhupada told somebody, you should study Hari Bhakti Vilas. And then later devotees started saying, oh, we are doing this, we are doing that. Prabhupada said, don't touch it. The essence is we need a manual. And Sanatana Goswami, through Gopal Bhatta Goswami, gave that. So contemporary society at that time, they thought, oh, it is Gopal Bhatta's book. And Gopal Bhatta had a big reputation arriving even before he came to Vrindavan. This is the son of the head pujari of this biggest temple in South India. So that was like the small kind of adjustment done by Sanatana Goswami. And of course, what was Gopal Bhatta Goswami's bargain? I will do everything what you want me to do. My name should never come in any of the passages here. So, in some places, he talks, kasyachit, some brahmana. Some brahmana has helped me, some brahmana did this. And we of course know that is Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And of course, he left this legacy of the worship of Sri Sri Radha Raman Dev, which Prabhupada said is one of the best in Vrindavan. It is still maintained over the 4 centuries. So we owe a lot to the contribution of Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Shri Gopal Bhatta Goswami Maharaj ki jai. So now we come to our current story here. Many devotees, especially in the last 3-4 days, beginning with Prahlad Priya Prabhu and Raj Bihari Prabhu, in their classes have commented on the aspect of people trying to imitate Krishna. Pondraka is saying, I am the real Vasudev, you are not the real Vasudev. From one point of view, there is nothing new. This material world is a place of imitation Vasudevs. We have this thing that I am the enjoyer, I am the controller, and I am the proprietor. Where does this thing come from? We may not have the symbols of Vishnu. And sometimes I just wonder how Pondra could be looking with those styrofoam extra two arms and the disc or whatever. Normally the disc, have you seen pictures? The disc is like a standalone kind of thing. It doesn't touch Vishnu's arm, Vishnu's finger. But I think some kind of, maybe tied by a string. Yeah, otherwise it's very difficult to maintain Vishnu's symbols and carry this farce of being an enjoyer. In fact, one of Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur's statement is, when a devotee takes to the devotional service of Lord Krishna, he is relieved from the burden of enjoying this material world. And the first time I read, I said, what? You get relief from enjoying? That's what you want to do. But the relief is like the right to enjoy Maya. At least I am still having that, but before joining Prabhupada's movement, I was convinced that I am like that. Now I am convinced I am not like that. But just the momentum effect is continuing. That I have a right to enjoy. Who tells me that I cannot enjoy this material world? So one devotee told in a class, I remember the statement, the right to enjoy Maya gives Maya the right to kick you on your face. After that you can't complain that, why are you kicking me? Why are you troubling me? So we are going to concentrate on one small point. This is a very sort of an enjoyable kind of a pastime. But I have just taken this one single thing. When the Lord has thus spoken, iti dutastam akshepam. The duta, the messenger who came from Pondraka, was insulted like anything. And he was told that, as you say, ja ke bol. I told him. So he goes back to his master and he's saying, I went and gave their message and they insulted you. And it is normally seen that when a messenger goes, he also adds a little bit of his own chance. It's but natural. So that's what he did. He conveyed the insulting reply of Krishna to his master in its entirety. Lord Krishna then mounted his chariot and went to the vicinity of Kashi. Krishna seems to be in that revenge mode. That somebody dare accuse me like this? Let us say, abhi maine chhodunga. Now I am not going to leave you. So a brief thing about this revenge fantasy. 4.14 Bhagavad Gita. In the purport, Prabhupada gives Vedanta Sutra 2.1.34. Vaishamye nairgrenye na sapekshatvat. One single line, typical Vedanta Sutra language. Vaishamye nairgrenye na sapekshatvat. It doesn't tell who is like that, but it just says, tam, that absolute truth, doesn't have vaishamya, doesn't have differentiation, doesn't have sapekshatva, doesn't say somebody's mine, somebody's stranger, अपना पराया, जैसे ही बिलोंग्स टू मी, इट डजंट बिलोंग टू मी. He says, no, it doesn't occur in Krishna. I remember one story, Prabhupada uses in his examples. Two brothers, one murdered the other brother and was absconding. So police catch the murderer. And it was done in such a vicious way that he is sentenced to be hanged. So normally the way in which he did, he deserved that punishment. And then on the day of the hanging, the father is told to say something, or the father requests that I want to say something. He says, well, one got mad due to some property or wealth and he killed his brother. I lost one son. And now according to the law of the land, there is justice. What about me? I am losing both. I lost one to some insane act of crime. I am losing the other one due to some sane act of justice. But I am the net loser. So he is telling the magistrate, look at me. You might say, my job is done perfectly. This fellow killed, he should be hanged. Bas. As the magistrates do. There is a very big important subtle point here. When asuras are killed, or when Krishna decides to act, which you and me understand as, oh, now he wants to give them the stick, now he wants to give them, really. Is Krishna happy while he's doing that? Or is Krishna sad while he's doing that? These are such important issues, especially when there is injustice. There are people who see injustice in society and their blood boils. So what is the new thing if you see injustice in your life and your blood starts boiling? I came across some literature, some books. The book especially is famous as a very satisfying revenge story. Small novellas, not a big thick thing, but a small novella of 7-8 chapters or whatever. And in the first 5 chapters, the villain does the bashing up, injustice after injustice, breaks somebody's windows, cars, homes, everything, wrecks his marriage, kicks him out of his job. And in second last chapter, our protagonist, the hero, he goes to some guru or whatever, he gets some knowledge, or he says, you know, as they say, ab badle ki aag jal rahi hai, the fire of revenge is burning. And the last chapter, he gives the anti-hero so much that readers say, oh, it is so satisfying. So I was just wondering, somebody did something to somebody and now he is taking revenge. How is it satisfying to you? So readers comment, say that, oh, at least we have faith that there is justice in this world. You know, somebody who has done so much bad and he goes on continuing doing bad, that's a very bad thing. Bhayam dvitiya abhinivishitasyat. There is a big important purport to this. Dvitiya. If people feel there is God and he is all powerful, he is all knowing, he sees everything. When we say there is a supervising authority who sees everything and he knows everything, oh, that means he will do justice also. Today, religions may be fighting among themselves over superficial issues, but each and every religion worth its name or worth its salt, as they say, has God is the ultimate in justice. God is ultimate in justice. In fact, the Hindi word or the Urdu word adalat, adal or adal means one who is just. So, justice, just, whatever is due, he gives you. So that hope can be shattered when you feel that maybe dvitiya abhinivesh, maybe there is some other power which is preventing God from giving justice. Then you are all shaken. Then you say, what is the possibility? There could be a third power, a fourth power. That the list is endless. So regarding this thing called revenge, I came to this conclusion that somebody has done something and the other party takes revenge. That is good for a fantasy world of imagination like a novella or a book. It doesn't stop there. What you see in the last chapter is just the beginning of another book's first chapter. It simply goes on and on and on. There are two examples in world history. Rome, now this is exactly 2,315 years ago. It's 2015, right? 300 years before Christ. So Rome was becoming a big power. And after a few decades, or many decades, they were challenged by one African place. It was not a nation. We might call it a nation today. Carthage. So they had their first challenge. They challenged them to a battle. And for many, many, many years, the Romans were plotting how to destroy our enemy. And finally, maybe after 60, 70 years, that means one emperor would be there for 25, 30 years, the third one in the line, the first one who started, next, like that, they took a massive army, crossed the ocean, went to Africa. Carthage was surrounded in such a way that not a single soldier, not a single animal can escape. And for many years, they kept it surrounded. They starved the population. After a few months, there were no pets left. Then they sent in spies and burned all the granaries. And then after a few weeks, when there was nothing, people had nothing to eat for days and days and days. And then they entered and they killed everybody. They had no strength even to lift a sword. Then they slaughtered everybody. Not a single Carthaginian was left alive. Then they destroyed all the buildings. Then they bought some salt and covered all the fields with salt so that nothing should grow here for the next 100 years. That was the anger, or that was the revenge. You dare do this to us? And after some time, in the year 330 or something AD, that means 1700 years ago, Rome experienced the same thing what they did to others. That's why I was saying, these kind of revenge stories, it doesn't end there. You may say, I am justified, the law is on my side. But it simply perpetuates. It is just one story after another. The second one is in the Second World War, when Czechoslovakia was under German rule. Somebody in some village shot dead one of their big generals. Same thing. They came, shot everybody in the village, killed all the animals, destroyed all the homes. They even diverted the river so that history should not know where this village lies. Of course, now they have again restored it, just to show them that we are still here. So, history is nothing but big, powerful people for some short amount of time behaving in this kind of way. Let us kill all these enemies completely. Dhruva Maharaj in the third canto, when he decides to do something like to the Yakshas, we have Swayambhu Manu coming and saying, hey, wait. Wait. One Yaksha killed your brother. You killed him. Then you killed those who came to help him. Then you killed those who came to help them. And now you are killing everybody just because he's a Yaksha. This kind of anger doesn't become you, doesn't suit you. Only because of Swayambhu Manu's preaching, Dhruva Maharaj becomes a bit pacified. So we see examples of mundane kings without any training. Their revenge goes unbridled, no control. Someone like Dhruva Maharaj, after good advice, he controls. Here we are seeing Krishna because he insulted him. So is this revenge or is this, what exactly is that? We go to 7th canto, 7.1.1. This is the classic question asked by Parikshit Maharaj. Shri Rajo Vacha, Samapriya Surit Brahman, Bhutanam Bhagavan Swayam, Indrasyarthe Katham Daityan, Avadid Vishamo Yatha. He said, Parikshit Maharaj, Rajo Vacha, your Raja is Parikshit Maharaj. He is asking Brahman, O great Brahmana. He is asking Shuddha Goswami. How is it? Samaha Priya. The Lord is equal to everybody. Everybody is dear to Him equally. Sama Priya Surid. Everybody is dear to Him like a Surid friend. Prabhupada explains, Mitra is your hi, hello friend. Your Facebook friend or your WhatsApp friend or your the same guy who stays in the same street, you just say, hello, hello. That's a Mitra. Bandhu means you may go to club together or you may spend your weekends together or you sometimes tell your heart-to-heart talks sometimes. But Surid is somebody who is very close to your heart. He knows your heart. You like to share your heart. So, Lord Narayana is described as Surid for all living entities. Saints, Rishi, Munis describe him and he himself claims in 5.29 Suridam Sarvabhutanam. I am the most beloved friend of all living entities. So, he says, I'm frankly very, very perturbed. O Guru Maharaj, O Brahman, O Brahmana. Vishwanath Chakravarti very nicely gives the understanding. Samasya katham vaishamyam. If you are sama, how can there be vaishamya? How can you put on your armor? How can you go on for a war? Priyasya katham asureshu priti abhava. First is he says, samasya katham vaishamyam. If you are equal, how can you say that I don't like demons? Of course, Krishna doesn't say that, but we see Krishna fighting them. And if you are everybody's priya, how come you don't have any love for the asuras? You never show love for them. The last thing is, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti, Suridascha katham teshu asauhardram. You are saying Surid, but you are showing asauhardra. And then he himself answers because three verses or two verses later, Shukdeva Goswami is ecstatic upon hearing this. Sadhu Prishtam Maharaj, he began congratulating Parikshit Maharaj for asking this question, such an intelligent question. He says, this is the reason why devotees should hear from authorities like Narad Muni. He doesn't say from me. He doesn't say. This is the reason why Narad Muni goes everywhere glorifying Krishna. He goes everywhere telling stories of Krishna, Krishna Katha. Why? Only when you hear, Shukadeva Goswami is saying, only when you hear directly from authority like Narad Muni, then you understand actually Krishna is not partial. How can he be? Constitutionally he cannot be partial. This is a big long technical discussion which is there in one purport, but I just sort of summarized it. First point is, the Lord is never partial. He is not partial to demigods offering him puja. That means, it's like me. I am being invited to somebody's home for prasad. And he says, I'll make the things which you like. The prasadam day may be 10 days from today, but I'm happy. I haven't eaten anything yet. But the mere fact that 10 days from now, I'm going to get something good, or whatever, it makes me partial. I have to be. I am limited. I am a spirit soul, so I get partial. Or, if I know that somebody is not very favorable towards me, or like it could be my authority, and somebody says, he's calling you, I may say, yes. I know there is something which is unfavorable which I am going to hear. And if they say, okay, you have to do that, and also do that. So he promised me only do that, now he's saying something else. So 24/7, we experience partiality, impartiality, partiality, impartiality. We expect impartial behavior from others as our right. We never try to do that as our responsibility to others. The only reason being, we are limited and we are conditioned. So frankly speaking, the living entity is described as somebody responsible for his own acts. In fact, every time people are saying, we heard from our parents, Bhagwan ki ichha ke bina to patta bhi nahi hilta. Sometimes when I go to Kamla Nehru Park, I look at the leaves, and I really wonder, is this leaf moving because somebody has willed it somewhere? Or this tree is shaking like this? Or this dog is passing by? Or suddenly I am going to slip now? Who knows what will happen to me? Is this all willed by somebody? Am I a program? I have some program in my life, but it is programmed already? And many philosophers, without this guidance, they've gone mad. They've actually gone mad. They say, lost their heads. Literally, figuratively, physically, all kinds of things. Because we feel, I have some power. At the same time, sometimes we are powerless. So how does one come to some understanding? The Bhagavad Gita talks about three doers. You and me, living entity, we are one doer. I may say, good. At least I am in the game. It's not like I am completely left out. Material nature is also a doer. I say, theek hai, no problem. Krishna also is a doer. We say, that complicates matters. I don't really know which area he functions, which area I function. In one verse, Krishna is saying, Ahankara vimudhatma karta ham iti manete. This idiot doesn't understand, thinks I am the doer, everything is done by material nature. Many years ago in Mumbai, there was a murderer He was a mad fellow. He used to kill people by throwing stones on their heads. And all pavement dwellers. So that means not even for money. So he was caught and he was asked, why did you do that? He said, hukum aa gaya. What do you mean hukum aa gaya? Whose hukum? Who ordered you? And they tried him in jail, legal tried, have a proper trial, but he died. He was sick. So till today it's like a complete mystery why he did that. Like tomorrow if somebody says hukum aa gaya, so will you agree to that fellow asking doing anything? So the living entity is in the tight grip of material nature. That also we know from the Bhagavad Gita. Prakriti sthani karshati. Prakriti, it's like we fight so much and she gives us a few scraps. It's like you try to enter a kitchen, the door is closed, the window is closed. You get inside, the guard beats you up. After a whole days of trial, some few grains of rice or few scraps of chapati are thrown at you. You say, oh, I am earning from the sweat of my brow. But you may say, is it worth it? This kind of constant struggle? Like the Titanic, the boat which went down. The Titans is a race, a community of people from Africa. That name was given. And what is their specialty? They are always trying to control material nature. And that name was given to the ship. And the engineer said, God cannot make it sink. That's how I made this ship. People are asking, there is luxury, there is song, dance, food, everything here. Is there a lifeboat? So they were said, she's the only lifeboat you'll ever need. She herself is a lifeboat. How can anybody sink? She was meant to float in water, and that water in some other form, ice, sank her. On the first voyage, she couldn't even complete that voyage. So, philosophers or social philosophers say, oh, what tragedy. There is somebody up there who is so jealous of man's advancement. At least he could have allowed this Titanic a few voyages here and there. At least, you know, so much of money gone. They say in Hindi, Bhagwan ko mera sukh dekha nahi jata. I was so happy here and he is so jealous. We began, Vaishamye nairgrinye na sapekshatvat. It cannot be there. But we see it's happening. Krishna has now started. So is that revenge? No. The example given is, big weight. Now, this is not that heavy, but like a big heavy, like the table, teak wood table. And a 2-year-old boy, he could do anything. We find here sometimes parents bring their kids and the kids are, they like the temple hall and they are jumping up and down, running. Then they see this table and now they want to push it. So they can't. When they can't, they start crying. So the parent says, what happened? And he's like, he says, oh, you want to push it. So the father pushes it. The child is like concentrating on his own particular area. He's trying to push it. He's not aware that there are two powerful hands from behind who are pushing it. And when the table moves, he's like, see, I'm so happy I can do it. I was surprised, but this sums up the entire thing. Please try to understand, the father, because he is powerful, doesn't start pushing tables everywhere. He doesn't show the kid how powerful I am. That's not the purpose. So the first thing is the desire on the part of the living entity. First of all, the living entity desires. Your desires, now somebody say, why do I desire that? Ask yourself. Your choices, your past, or the past before that. But whatever it is, your desires are your property. It's like your camera. And you may say, who took these photographs? It's so ridiculous. It's your camera, whether you sat on it and it kept on taking pictures of your hair or whatever. But it is your thing. You may not like it, you may like it, but whatever. But the machine belongs to you. And it kept on pressing, and now 6 GB full of all these ridiculous pictures. You can delete if you want. You may say, nee, I'll keep it. Boss, you say I'll keep it. The desires are like incubating, hatching more desires. So first the desire. But desire don't stop there. Desires have a habit of becoming bigger. As they say, your savings become bigger in a bank. You know, little bit you put and suddenly it has become so big. 5,000 today, in 60 months becomes 1 lakh. You may say, 1 lakh? 60 months it takes, you have forgotten that. It means 5 years. The bank has earned 2 lakhs on that. They are giving you 1 lakh. Never mind. So desires tend to become big. And when they grow to an extent where they cannot be managed, attempt. Now you start working on that. You may say, the only way to kill this desire is now I have to act upon it. Abhi, enough. I have to get it out of my mind. Get it off my chest. So first the desire, then the attempt. And usually the attempt always fails. Why? Because we are limited. Material nature is all powerful. Just because you have a desire, and just because you have attempted, doesn't mean it will be fulfilled. You can't go to a Mercedes showroom nearby and say, I like this blue one very much. So what do I do? I really like it very much. He said, fine, where's the cash? He says, that's the only issue. Otherwise, I have space. I know how to drive. I like the color. The car is good. He says, wait. All this is immaterial if you don't have the money. He said, really? I thought maybe just my desire is enough. No. You have to deserve. So desire, attempt, and then when Krishna puts his resources through material nature, it is not Krishna is happy or he is sad. They say, whether God is happy with me or God is sad with me, angry with me, the simple answer is, most of the time, he is simply reciprocating. He simply reciprocates. It's like an atheist spits on God. He says, I don't like you, I spit on you. And then he says, he's spitting on me now. He is not. It's your own which is falling on your head. By law of gravity, which is his property. So you can't have law of gravity as your thing. So, that's how the weight is lifted. And this thing of reciprocation, so Krishna, when somebody acts inimically, that is an adjective for enemy. When somebody acts like an enemy, and Krishna decides it's time to reciprocate, Krishna acts like an enemy. But the enmity is not born in Krishna's mind. Please remember this. When someone desires to act like a friend, ye bhajanti tu, that tu word is very important. Ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya mai te teshu. And I also reciprocate like that. So that is how, then we have statements where Krishna is saying, no one is dear to me. You may say, really? Is he a dry kind of person? No. That shows the absolute nature of God. That he has to be somebody who is squeaky clean, clean as a whistle, impartial. That's how he begins. And then as we start making a relationship, he reciprocates. And his reciprocation, oh, there is no limit to that. If you take one step, say Krishna takes one, but his one, I think a few days ago somebody mentioned the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. I think you mentioned how Gopakumar went and then how Krishna reciprocated. Seeing this living entity has come after such trial and tribulation, The devotee, the divinity is like happy, at least I have made it. And Krishna faints. This is completely opposite to what we are seeing here. But that is how, with your pure desire and the acts which follow that, Krishna also reciprocates. So we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Tantra Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki.